Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan, and I'm here, as always, in the lovely studio in Brooklyn with producer Mike. Hello, producer Mike.
Hi, J.L. Hi, everybody. How you doing? Good to see you all. How's it hanging?
We're doing well. We're doing YouTube's going strong. I have no idea. You say the audio is pretty stagnant.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, thanks.
It's very stagnant.
Appreciate it. Just remember, guys, unlike other people who say I couldn't do it without you, I'm pretty sure I could do this without my fans. I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do it without them, I think, at this point. Except the YouTube people, because they've been very good to us so far.
No, I know. But I'd still like the audio people to pick up.
Yeah.
But what can you do? They're ashamed of me, I think.
It's the thing about YouTube, though. It splits the audience, you know?
Does
you have a couple thousand people watching on YouTube, and, you know.
But did you see a mass exodus from audio once like YouTube started doing well?
No. And so actually, in theory, it means that we've like
added people.
Yeah.
All right. That's
good. If you think of it like that.
Yeah. As you can tell from my energy, I'm thrilled.
Yeah, I can see.
To find out that all this 2 decades of my life have been spent getting to this point.
I see the soul searching starting early.
The top of the bottom. Which is Elton John's next album title, by the way, I'm wearing my concert shirt. Mike, I got an interesting invitation yesterday on my cell phone.
Okay.
A 35th birthday party.
Oh, that's right. You did. Yeah. I thought I was going to be like, JL, you're getting scammed.
Oops. Accidental mass text. Ignore. That's spam. Bots. Yeah. 35th. Is it on your 35th? Is that your 35th?
Yeah, my 35th is on a Friday night, August 30th. I'm going to be a real terror to be around for the next 2.5 weeks or however long it is, because I get birthday blues like you wouldn't believe.
Really?
Oh, big time. I hate my birthday. And this is also one of the reasons I hate it is because, so I saw that you're coming. I appreciate that. I'm happy to have you. But as soon as I sent the invitation out, I mean, my birthday is Labor Day weekend, usually, and the peak of hurricane season, which does affect us in New York from time to time, even though, you know, houses don't usually blow apart. But
we're in trouble if skyscrapers start getting ripped open by hurricanes.
Trouble. Yeah. I mean, there's always rainstorms. People are not as excited to go out and blah, blah, blah. The minute I sent that thing out, I had like 3 people that were like, oh, I'm out of town. I'm like, oh, of course. It's Labor Day weekend. Why wouldn't you be out of town? Every year of my life, same fucking story. So, but I'm happy that you're going
to
come.
Well, if you know one thing, I got nowhere to go and no one to be with.
I know.
So,
are you going to bring Laura?
Should she come?
Yeah, she can. It's up to you. I don't, you know. I'd love to. I haven't seen her in a while, but
yeah, no, I sometimes it's like when people are asking me after the pandemic, it's like, oh, did she come on the road with you? I go, we were together 24 hours a day for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 9 years of normal relationship time.
You're cramming in a lot.
Yeah. So I always savor my time to just get out by myself.
Okay.
But no, maybe I'll bring her. But I also am bringing her to 11 Ranger games for her birthday present.
Is that official?
Her birthday is this Wednesday.
Happy birthday, fellow Virgo. Or she is.
No, it's because don't they go like 21st to 20th, right? Like each concert.
Because, I'm a Virgo. It is an in between.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't do astrological signs, but I am a Taurus, which I think means I'm an asshole. Yeah, so the Ranger game. Like I said, though, she's actually going to 10. And if she can only go to 9, you know who's getting that.
That's right. I'm excited.
Who's first replacement
I'm getting my Mark Stahl jersey ready.
Yeah, that's like 2010.
Yeah, that's when I was in high school, I think.
Oh, boy. But anyway, I'm excited for the party. You said in your invitation.
Yeah.
And I felt subtweeted. Don't look like a slob.
Wasn't you. Trust me.
Okay.
I subtweeted somebody else, not you.
Wow. Guys, we fuck. Not dressing
Not them either. No, they'll be fine. I have friends of mine for sure. Because it's my 35th. I kind of want to look nice. You know, I know it's August, so it kind of hinders what I can wear because you can't really go too hard. It's going to be fucking hot, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, I had some stuff that I've picked out and want to wear specifically, and I have an ensemble, and I don't want to show up and look like the only person that gave a shit on my birthday. It's just, you know, people dress like, you know, filth these days.
See, I'm the type of person who I would wear something like absurdly fashionable and spend a bunch of money just for the gag.
But that's what I'm saying. Except, to me, it's not a gag. Except, like, I just want people to look
good. But me, for me to do it, I would do it in a way that was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? This outfit costs $3,000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just so you would laugh. But then all your young people would be like,
yeah,
who's this guy?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Who's the old man? I know.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And obviously, I think everybody, they don't like me. My fans don't like me. That's, we've firmly established that.
Right.
We're in a sort of hate relationship, mm-hmm. but they like you.
I'm happy to hear that. I like them too.
They're so I think as nice a birthday to present to Mike, they could spread Rain on Your Parade and they could subscribe to Slickback Studios.
They could. That would be a wonderful birthday gift. Slickback yeah. _ Studios on Instagram, and obviously follow the YouTube as well. That'd be a very nice gift. Yeah. Jail.
And now you're going to see how fucking ungenerous my fans really are.
Well, you'd figure by now they would come over.
Two subscribers, it costs nothing. Jesus, you're right, JL. Speaking of fans, oh my God, if you are anywhere, if you are listening to this Thursday morning and you are within 200 miles of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, tell them you're leaving work early. Tell the babysitter they got to get your kids. Punchline in Philadelphia, Thursday night, 7:30. My God, I need to sell tickets to this or else you will have seen my last show in Philadelphia. One of the chains in Philadelphia.
Are you teasing something here, JL?
Well, no. This is not part of my retirement. This is being fired by the state of Pennsylvania.
I see. Okay.
Now, Punchline in Philly is, you know, think Sean Penn in Dead Man Walking. You know, I'm walking to the electric chair. This is it. And so please, Philadelphia people. And obviously, I have shows in a bunch of other cities after that, like a lot of cities. So please, if you're a fan of mine or anything I do, just go to jailcomedy.com, click on the calendar. Almost all the ticket links are up there for all my shows. So please, I won't even go down the list of cities. Just check it out.
Yeah.
Just check it out.
Got to check it out.
There's also a good blog there and all sorts of other stuff. Nobody produces more untouched content than J.L. Covan.
I would say you and I are in competition for that.
Yeah, but isn't it like...
the stage.
Isn't it... Don't you wish... There's something about this entertainment business now. It's like we're just normal people making what we think is good work. Mm-hmm. And we have enough validation to sort of say, yeah, we're on the right path.
I know. Yeah.
Just enough. Like I've always had just enough validation to keep ruining my life.
Yeah.
And
yep.
But you realize there's the ecosystem now is like very divided. It's like either you're a superstar with so much heat, people just want to be near you. Regardless if you're that good, maybe you're great, maybe you're mediocre, but you got heat.
Yeah.
And people want moths to a flame, flies to shit.
Yep.
That's where they want to be. Or you're part of a movement, as we were talking before. And us, as sort of left of center, normal people who still like real comedy, aren't interested in being like left-wing panderers, mm-hmm. but aren't interested in catering to maybe the comedy sensibilities of the right, which can have some funny people, but becomes its own gross pile of shit. Those are the two groups. If you have heat or if you're like a right-wing perceived martyr or fighter of cancel culture. Like,
right.
And all these other
culture warrior, yeah,
who happens to tell some jokes.
Yeah.
If you're not one of those two right now, very difficult to like make people give a shit. Mm-hmm. I can't make my own fans give a shit. How am I going to grow my fan base if I can't make the people who are fans, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a fun thing. And there's going to be a lot of soul searching. I was telling Mike at the end of this year. I said to Mike, I'm going to have to figure out what I'm doing with the last 5 to 6 years of my life after 2024. And I don't know if comedy and frustration and anger and hostility is the way to go.
It's called hostility.
I want to be nice. I should be nice, Jay. I'll be nice. And I said, okay, I can be nice. But then I said, I don't want to be nice. I'm going to be tough. It's called tough. And you got to be tough. You got to be strong. You got to be tough. You got to be wiser.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You got to be a giver.
So, everybody, you know, just go check. I'm not even telling people about the Patreon or anything. Now, Half Blackface, we got one new review this week, so all we're right. back.
All right.
We're back.
Yeah.
Kenny Powers is back.
We're back.
But please, I keep getting told people months later, they write to me. And I'm not kidding, you guys. They write to me and go, oh, it took me so long. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Like people, and it's always like, yep. Like I wouldn't go out on a limb like this and embarrass myself for like, this is my fifth best work. No, this is the shit. But check out my website, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Mike.
Yes.
We're going to talk, as people know now from the title. You're a baseball guy.
Yeah.
This actually has a tie into baseball. Finally, a story about baseball that I was interested in. Can you just tell the people very briefly, because I forgot the guy's name?
Jaron Duren.
Jaron Duren. He's a Boston Red Sox.
Yes. Very now, talented. He's good. He's like a young, hot prospect.
Oh, good.
He's good.
Great. And you know what? When in Rome, he was probably thinking, I'm in Boston.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Me.
The last, I think, definitely the last baseball team to integrate. I think possibly the last professional sports team to integrate. Is that right?
That sounds familiar. That's that.
Definitely the last baseball team.
Yeah.
I think they might be the last team in general in sports.
Duke basketball? maybe. Fine, Grant Hill. And there were black people before Grant Hill, obviously.
Just a joke.
It's just a joke, guys. Well, Boston, I've always joked. I did a thing when I went to Boston. That was one of my first shows after the pandemic. And I said, the Boston accent, what do you think the most racist accents in the world are? And I said, number three, Southern. Mm. American Southern.
Right, naturally.
Number two, South African. That's my number two. I hear that thick, white, South African Dutch shit. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy is not a fan of the blacks.
He's got a whip with him.
Yeah. And number one, I said, was people who sound like they're from the South, but live in the North. And I remember thinking that when I saw 8 Mile, Kim Basinger was playing
his
mom. When the Southern trash accent never leaves you, even though you're like second generation Michigan, that's the most racist.
Yeah, there was one time I was working doing a gig in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
And I ate at a Waffle House there, and the waitress had a Southern accent. And I remember thinking, I'm in Ohio.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? I'm not in the South.
Right.
But it's just, you know, the trash is its own accent.
Yeah.
It just sounds like, you know, Southern.
Right. And I said, look at that, Boston. You can't even make the top three. You know why? Because you can't pronounce the hard R. And then there was this murmur of people getting it. And then that wave of laughter. And I said, I got to quit comedy. That should have been much quicker.
This is such started your soul searching.
Yeah. but anyway, so he said the F word. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they said he used a homophobic slur, and we're assuming that was not the wrong pronouns or the word queer or even homo. He used the F word.
Homo is like, I mean, that's light fare at this point.
Yeah, everybody, that's Jersey Mike talking.
I'm just
not
saying.
Mike, producer Mike, that's Jersey Mike made an appearance. I wanted to talk about this, and I wanted to also, teaser guys, I'm going to rank the slurs on this episode. So, I mean, you know, that 15-minute drop-off that YouTube shows, not today, YouTube. They're staying for the whole show. But I wanted to talk about this because what bothered me more about that, he apologized. He gave a robust apology, whether it's the political thing to do or he felt it. He gave a very like, he said something like a horrible word or a horrible, disgusting word. He gave like a full, he suspended 2 games. The comments on the post on Facebook were what made me think maybe we can talk about this today, because the comments were, one of the guys was like, only difference is I wouldn't have apologized.
Right.
And the majority of the comments, you know, it's one of those posts with thousands of comments. The majority that I saw seemed to be supportive, if you can say that, or society's becoming so soft. Because the guy was heckling him. Uh-huh. And I would have no problem if he said, fuck you, motherfucker, or blah, blah, blah. But he went to a certain place. And I want to talk about that when we come back, because I've had this discussion with many friends over the years about the F word and where it ranks and why it's a bad word, despite what philosopher King Dave Chappelle might tell you. So when we come back, we're going to be talking the F word. And we're back, everybody. Mike, how was that break?
Fantastic, as it always is.
Yeah. Well, we realized over the break you might not be able to see what's on my shirt. It's an Elton John farewell concert tour shirt. Floor seats, Newark, New Jersey, $800 a pop. Not worth it. But I saw a legend. Yeah. I saw all I could think looking around that concert was you take stock of the people that are at the concert. And unlike other shows I've been to where I'm like, well, this looks like the cream of the crop. In Jersey, I was like, this looks like irresponsible people spending more than they should on concert tickets.
It's probably true.
Yeah. Look, I'm just like, what are you doing? You should be up there or at home.
Elton, I mortgaged my house.
Wave to me.
Yeah. He's really turned into producer Mike just dropped a racquetball.
Yeah, so, paints the pinky ball.
I guess the break isn't over for Mike.
My bad.
Is that your way of stopping me from doing my acclaimed Elton John impression?
No, I'm just a klutz. What can I say?
All right. Well, guys, speaking of Elton John, we're talking about the F word today.
Yeah.
And that's a little irreverent humor because this is going to be a respectful discussion. I've had many discussions about slurs in my life. And nobody ever really defends the N word unless they're Morgan Wallen fans. At which point they're like, so what?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But normally it's true.
Hey, what's the big deal, guy?
Right. Normally, like, that's when I knew we had entered into a new world. When there's one thing, it's like, okay, so he made a joke. I don't give a fuck. The liberals want to cancel everybody. But I felt we had this understanding in civilized society, not the dregs that, like, MAGA lives in, but the civilized society that, like, oh, that is a cancelable offense or a partially cancel. Like, take a break.
Yeah.
It's not end your career. Yeah. Just take a break, though. Do some work. Meet with Al Sharpton and you're back.
Yeah, yeah.
No break. Number one album. Like there was zero break. It was just like, oh, they're trying to cancel somebody. La, 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 la. Doesn't matter why. La, 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 la. Yeah. And it's like, that feels like we've crossed a place in society where now there is no sacred space that, like, that side won't be like, when you try to cancel, I kick into high gear. It doesn't matter what they're being canceled for. And unless they run child sex rings at a pizza shop.
Yeah.
Obviously then you.
It's a bridge too far.
Right. You cancel on that. Fictional stories, you'll get canceled by the right.
Yeah.
But other than that, facts, no. Facts cannot cancel me.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, I guess Mel Gibson is an example of somebody who has really weathered the storm of both anti-Jewish. Is he the only guy still living in mainstream, thanks to Mark Wahlberg keeping him around as a mentor, who did the double-barreled N-word and anti-Semitic stuff? I mean, was Braveheart
top of mind?
Was Braveheart that good? It's good. Was it Get Away with anti-Jewish and black
dude,
stuff?
Dude, he did it at, like, the peak of his. That was, like, right after the Passion of the Christ, wasn't it?
Do you think that's what helped him? I think he found the blueprint that Donald Trump is following. It's like, if you get the Christians on your side,
yeah,
you'll almost feel biblical in terms of how, you know, if the God is on our side, who can be against us?
Well, I think that the Mel Gibson thing is at the very beginning of people, like, it was a new thing to think about the fact that, like, everybody was recording you at all times.
Right.
Not excusing the behavior. But also, I think the fallout of that, he had alcohol problems. I think he was, like, going and trying to get that taken care of or whatever. Like, I don't think it was as simple as, I mean, I do think he's an anti-Semitic guy.
Did
and
he,
like, whatever.
He said the N-word, right? When he talked about it, wanting his wife to be raped by a pack of.
Yeah.
He did. Yes, he said the N-word.
He did. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
He didn't say African Americans. That would actually
no, I don't
be hilarious
think so.
If he said that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he said that. No. Did he say moon cricket? Was that the?
I think that was just you're in your dreams.
No, I thought I remember that thing being bad, and I remember it being like to the point where I was just like, oh my god. Even at that point, I had such like a I don't have a weak stomach at all for any of this stuff, and I was just like, oh boy, that's gonna hurt tomorrow. You know,
the truth is, I was not paying attention enough because I had heard him. I remember Passion of the Christ comes out, and a lot of critics loved it, made a lot of money, but some
tons
critics,
of money. Yeah.
Some critics were like, it's anti-Semitic. Right. I was like, it just feels like they're doing the Bible story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, if that's how you feel, I'm not telling you no. I wouldn't do the like, no, no. I can't speak for Mel Gibson. I can only speak of my own knowledge and what I'm seeing and how I interpret it. And then he comes out saying, you know, yelling at a police officer that the Jews start all the wars. And I was like, well, it seems we have some circumstantial evidence that maybe the film, some of those film critics had a point.
What a lunatic.
Yeah.
That was so nuts.
But then, Mike, I saw Oppenheimer and I thought, counterpoint. So the point is, I saw Apocalypto after that, so I was clearly not contributing.
That's
to
a
canceling.
Tough watch.
It's good though. I thought it was really good.
I just remember being like,
it's very violent.
It's like a very violent, yeah. and the dead language, because it's not Hispanic, right?
Right, he went from Aramaic to like ancient Incan or something.
Yeah.
Or Aztec.
Yeah.
Apologies to any listeners who are Incan or Aztec if I got the language, if there's a different name for the language. But the point is, we're just going through like a temporary history of things that, you know, Milli Vanilli, of course, got famously canceled for lip syncing.
Well, that was justified, I think.
But then.
That's not like they didn't say anything crazy. It's just like.
If Milli Vanilli had said racial slurs with their own voices, they'd still be performing today.
Yeah, probably.
So sorry, Millie. I know Vanilli's not with us anymore, but the F word has now gotten into this place, the homophobic slur for anybody going F word.
Yeah.
It's gotten to this device. It's an oddly divisive place. I remember I used it. I'm going to just confess. I think we've talked about this. I know I used it in like middle school and probably even in high school.
I've used it even into my 20s, I'm sure, to be honest about it.
I mean, okay. And by the way, your 20s were like my 30s, bro. So kind of late into the game if you're really thinking about it.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm not proud of it.
I stopped at 21. You were fucking 11. And I'm not even a woke dude.
Yeah.
So, but I went to a liberal arts college, which really earned its liberal name because they had Queer Week. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, me, Mr. Catholic boy, walking around my campus, lifting weights, thanking the Lord.
Yeah.
And like every week for, I think it was called Queer Pride Week. I think it was called, I think queer was involved. So I'm not saying that flippantly, but then you'd see like, you'd wake up the next morning and like the campus was chalked in various things. And I was like, Jesus sucks dicks.
Yeah.
And things like that. And I was like, well, that's not going to get your point across.
Yeah.
And now, of course, you learn, you live and you learn, and you're like, well, I can see why they'd be hostile to the Christian faith.
You know? I thought you meant that Christians were doing, like, I misunderstood, but now I'm with you.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
Okay. Everybody else is with me.
Yeah.
And that's saying something with my fan base.
Yep.
So, but I think it was almost like an immersion therapy, or as the right would call it, brainwashing. But it was like, I left college not knowing that I had become a more accepting person. Mm. But when I was watching TV with three close high school friends, as I do Cornell West Fingers, as I do, you know, I'm going to make a point, Brother Mike. And we were watching TV and one of my friends referred to somebody on TV laughingly as, oh my God, look at that.
Yeah.
He didn't use the full one, you know, which is, that's harsher. I think we can both agree. I deem them both crimes.
With OT?
With OT is like, who, you meant it.
Yeah.
But, and I stopped and I didn't even realize this at the time. It was my first year of law school. And I said, can we not say that? And I wasn't trying to be a hero. There was nobody else around. It was my three closest friends. And they're like, what? I don't mean it like he's gay.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't say, and then became the thing. And I don't, I'm not saying any of these guys are bad people, but there was this, like, I don't mean it. Like, I wouldn't say that if somebody were gay. I wouldn't say that around somebody gay.
Right.
And I guess that's a way of saying, like, I'm not trying to hurt feelings, but I just, when I see something bad or stupid or pathetic or awful, I just like to call it gay. That's all.
Yeah.
And so we had this long discussion. And of course it got fought, like within 10 minutes, it was like, Jay, are you gay? I was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what? Like, nobody ever says that if, like, a white person stands up against, like, a clearly racist act. Nobody right. goes, what, is your granddad black? What's that about?
Well, I mean, maybe it does in some places, you know?
Maybe. But, you know, you get what I'm saying.
I do. Like, yeah, I get your point. Words, yes, of course. I wasn't trying to stifle your point.
No, I get it. Hate, it's okay to stand up to bigotry. Even and I think it's helpful. I wouldn't be hanging around knowingly with people who are, like, hardcore homophobes. Except right. for my dad, RIP.
Right.
You turned 93 yesterday.
What are you going to do?
But like I always say, born in 1931 in Haiti.
Right.
If you're looking for a flag bearer during Pride Month, it ain't my dad. But the we had this long discussion, and of course it got to the, are you gay? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just telling you, it's a slur. It's a bad word. It's like, I'm talking, like, I use this example. I go, there are gay men and gay women who have probably heard that word as one of the last things they've heard on fucking earth.
Mm. Yeah, right.
Like,
it's a great point.
Now, yes, have black people been treated worse historically in this country? Sure, because you can't hide that, except if you're me. But other than that, you can't, you can hide, you know, Johnny Weir. No, he can't hide.
Yeah.
But most, if you choose.
Rock Hudson.
Rock Hudson. I just watched a documentary on him. Looked a lot like Miles Teller. We got to find out if he's Miles Teller's dad.
But so anyway. All signs point to no.
No, I know. But how dedicated was he to covering up?
That's a
also,
good
point. Miles Teller probably born after he was dead.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely.
Okay, that's probably a bigger definitely. Impediment. People have faked their way to kids, but they haven't overcome death and homosexuality
that's right.
to father a child.
Right.
So. The point is, we got into this discussion. I remember one of my friends was, like, angry at this point, and he's evolved a lot, but he was, like, angry because
that you told him not to ask.
But
him
no, he wasn't even the one I was telling. Another friend was, like, angry about it. Like, I was, like, some fucking liberal arts loser who'd been, like, brainwashed. And I was just like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, it's a slur.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. You're around me and I don't like it. And whether I'm standing up for people or whatever, I don't like it. Please don't use it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. I'm saying, and maybe you'll understand over time why it's a bad thing. And I didn't unfriend anybody because I don't think we had a discussion where anybody was like, nobody was defending it. Like, what? They're gross.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean? It was more
right,
of like, I'm just using the word.
Right.
I don't mean it. I'm not a hateful person.
Right.
So there's degrees, obviously, but there's become this sort of movement now. Where it's like, and Dave Chappelle, we got to bring up Dave Chappelle here because when I saw him on Broadway, and I wrote a blog about this, it got shared a little bit. Sorry to keep pimping my own stuff, but
are you?
I'm the greatest gift to culture that we have. So you can't, I'm not going to dim my own light, Mike.
Okay.
So, except when I quit comedy in 6 months. But the point is, Dave Chappelle, good guy, talks a lot about the gays and trans, but he did a bit. And this was 2019, I believe. I saw his show on Broadway. He had like a 2-week residency on Broadway. And I liked most of the show. But then he got to this point where he said that standards and practices at the Chappelle show had said to him, we don't want you to use. And he, instead, because he's tough and brave, screamed the word.
Yeah.
Like that. And I felt a little gross because I was like, I mean, what are you proving here?
Yeah.
Like, you don't care about their humanity as much, like, but that makes you real. He comes from this, and I've had friends like this. I think he comes from this space of, as a black person in America, I'm at the top of the oppression totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do I can respect other forms of oppression, but I don't really have to respect them as much because I'm king of oppression. Uh-huh. Okay. Which is, you know, my next album title. Spoiler. But
next and last.
Yeah. It will end like the Eminem show. It's just a gunshot. But he went into this thing and he said, but you let me, he said, you let me say the N, he's, you know, let me say the N word, but I can't say that. And the woman said, well, Dave, you're not gay. And then Dave said, but I'm not an N word either. Wrong. You just failed the SAT analogy. It's not, and he was being either he's not as smart as people think, or he's being intellectually dishonest. And because the idea is, of course, gay, gay slur, black slur, not black. Well, I'm not a black. No. You're crossing
right.
the analogy. And I made that point in the blog where I said, you know, maybe there will be a, or I think the other two may have just started on HBO Max or Comedy Central. And I was like, here's a show from a gay writer that's very funny, uses gay slurs flippantly. There it is. There's your answer, Dave. There's your answer. They're not going to let them use the N-word. I can guarantee you that.
Right.
So,
right.
But what bothered me in the crowd, first of all, I found it intellectually dishonest. He's a smart comedian. He's thoughtful on many things. But that was when I started to see this tipping point, because he hadn't become the mega anti-trans warrior yet.
Yeah.
But I said that bothered me.
Still such a weird pivot.
And then when the crowd reaction is what really told me, because there were no laughs. There were a lot of black men going, mm-hmm. And there were a lot of white guys probably putting down their New York Post to go, you see?
Yeah.
You can't take away all my slurs.
Wait, we got to go out to the New York Post? I mean, come on. It's a fun read.
But I will. So that made, that's when I started to see Dave Chappelle, the early stages, which would rapidly grow, of culture warrior Dave Chappelle.
Right.
And it was another instance of this need to defend the F word. Like it belongs to people. And I remember, and then we'll rank the slurs soon, and I'll get your input on this and your thoughts, although I think you're going to be probably largely aligned with me, if not completely.
Yeah.
But I had a discussion with a friend one time who sort of veers into that straight black men are actually the most oppressed people, and you can't tell me I can't say things. I've earned the right to just look down on other mm-hmm. groups who are trying to steal the oppression spotlight.
Yeah.
But he had brought up, you know, he had said to me, well, did you see how fast Myers Leonard got fired from the Miami Heat? You know, the owner is Jewish. He said a Jewish slur and he was gone. Mm-hmm. And I said, right. And? And I said to him point blank, you can't be mad at another minority in Jew, obviously not a racial minority, but a minority, obviously a very discriminated against class of people, because they flex the power you wish you had mm-hmm. doesn't make them the bad guy. Mm-hmm. You should want that power too, but don't blame them because they've built that power. However they've built it, you know, controlling the media, Hollywood, money, money, money. You right. get what I'm saying, Mike. No, that's a joke, everybody. We're trying to broaden the audience, bro.
Jail coming after my people.
But in all seriousness, I was like, you can't be mad at them for responding to bigotry and flexing against it. You want that same power? That's it. That's, you should. You should want that and you should have that when somebody... But you can't blame some other group for doing what you wish you want, could do or want to do.
Right.
And I said to him, I was like, so if Myers Leonard, I think was the name. If he said the K word on a video game.
Yep.
And he was out. And
the K word is also, that's like heavy duty.
Well, I mean,
we're going to rank.
When I reveal the rankings, yes. You're going to see just how heavy duty it is.
Yeah.
But it's got the double K.
Yeah.
The ka-ka.
Yeah.
So, I said, do you think if Myers Leonard, who was a white player, for those of you who don't know. So if you do you think Myers Leonard, if he had said the N word, especially with a hard R, because that's the only comparable. There is no soft K in the Jewish slur. Yeah,
that's right.
So if he'd said it with the hard R, which would be the equivalent, do you think the NBA wouldn't have ushered him out very quickly as well?
Well, we have a sample size for that.
We do?
Donald Sterling? No.
Sure, Donald Sterling. But I would say, now, if you're telling me, now, if he was talking to me about the NFL, I'd say you have a point.
Right.
Riley Cooper.
Yeah.
But the NFL.
Who I don't think is even in the NFL anymore.
But he didn't get kicked out for that.
Yes, correct.
You know, right. Once his 40 time got slower, it was like, get out of here, racist.
Yeah, right.
And now he's working backstage at Morgan Wallen concerts.
Yeah.
But if you told me the NFL, I'd say much different story.
Yeah. And I would agree with that.
That's you could, right. Because that is a conservative, some like racists.
American, yes, quote unquote.
American in the MAGA,
yeah.
1950s, 1840s kind of way.
Yes.
But it wasn't. It was the NBA.
Right.
And I was like, no. Because you can't give me an equal example. You couldn't possibly tell me that if Myers Leonard had done that, said a black slur, that he would have been like, well, let's just hear him out.
Right.
In the NBA, give me a break. So.
Can I just say, though, too, as it's credit to Myles Leonard, I do think that he actually, Myers Leonard. Yeah. What did I say? Miles? Whatever. Myers Leonard. I had seen through the grapevine, I guess, that he was actually like going to fucking temples and stuff after that and really felt bad about what he said.
Well, when he discovered the Jewish ladies are very busty. He's like, all right, I'm not anti-Semitic no more.
I have a feeling he wasn't anti-Semitic. Dumb.
Of course.
But I think that also that needs to be part of these discussions.
Sure.
Because I do think people shouldn't always be judged in their like, I don't even want to say worst moments, because I'm sure it's not his worst moment, but like dumbest moments.
Yeah.
Like careless moments.
How about this? Dumbest plus worst. Their durst moments.
Their durst moments.
Whether we're talking Fred or Robert, yeah. It's a very insulting term.
Right. But I do think you should.
I did it all for the real estate. The real estate.
It should be.
So I can murder my date and stick it in her ass. I'm sorry.
I just do think it should
Nookie
be.
Nookie by Fred Durst. You're talking
even,
over it.
It's I won't even try.
Bit.
I won't even.
It's a great bit. I'm done. Please, Mike.
I'm just saying, I think in situations like that, I think it should be, I don't want to say commended, because, you know, but we're all going to say the wrong thing at some point. We all, you know, you were talking about sort of the moment where for you, you made the shift to where like saying gay slurs was, I don't even want to say offensive to you, but like gross to you.
It
was, you know?
No, it was a maturity thing. I thank Williams College for being an open place where, yes, I still don't like chalkings that are like saying vulgar things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, the community that they created at Williams, which allowed for that, was also a place where you would meet other people and they could be themselves. And there was no like, you know, you get what I'm saying. Like,
I do, yeah.
And that helped me grow. And it wasn't even like I didn't have to go to classes or sensitivity training. It was just I was open to it. And all of a sudden, one day, I was just like, stop saying that. Well, Not because somebody had reprimanded me. Nobody ever did. But I just found myself in a place where I was like, it's a gross word. And like I said, you know, Matthew Shepard was, I believe, murdered while I was in college.
Yeah.
When you hear things like that, you're like, that should make you reevaluate how you talk, how you treat people, how you see people.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think, so I don't know what it's like in school now, but I can say that. Like,
oh, they've gone too far. As, I can also say
the drag queens are running the show.
Yeah. Like anyway.
I could just say that when I was a kid, I had access to some gay people. My mom had a couple people that she worked with that were gay. And this was during the time of like AIDS and all this sort of stuff. So there was some education about it. But as a kid, you don't know a ton of gay people. And then you're just hanging out with your buddies.
Especially me and the B-52s.
Yeah.
Sign says.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
I mean, when I was a kid, you started seeing more gay stuff in culture. You started seeing like Will and Grace, and you started seeing, you know, things like that. So there was a little more of an understanding about it. And I always like I had that same sort of mindset, too, where it's like I would never call a gay person that. But like when I'm with my friends, whatever. And I felt that way until
yesterday.
No, not that, but maybe like a decade ago.
I got you.
You know? And then I think the thing is, you do start getting to it. Like that information, like we were saying, Myers-Leonard.
I agree with
your,
you, by
your
the way.
Knee-jerk reaction is to be like, oh my God, what a loser, pandering, going and speaking to rabbis and whatever. It's difficult to not have that reaction, but I feel so differently in the last decade of having gotten closer to many gay people in my life, and then eventually trans people or people that kind of identify as they, them. And, you know, when those people are in your life, you're way less likely.
Those monsters, you mean? No, thanks, Mike.
But even
one step at a time for JL Covan. Thank you. Yeah.
Even just out of the studio, like Ronnie, my sidekick on my show is openly gay. She has
but her political opinions are so abhorrent that we don't even care. We're so focused on
enough
her radical agenda.
She is a communist, but that's okay. So that she's become a close confidant of mine. Good, great friend, like a little sister.
Now he's going to rat me out.
No, I'm just saying it's like when those people,
there's going to be a scene between us at your birthday function.
No, you guys will get along.
I know.
I do think that when you have more of those people in your life, it becomes a lot easier to say like, well, I'm not going to say this when I'm not around this person either, because how am I going to look this person in the face and be like, yeah, I say it. But I don't mean you. I just mean my friend Jack, who, like, you know,
that's why I tell all my side pieces, I'm not going to say I love you. How can I then say that to Laura?
Right.
So she doesn't listen to my podcast, so I can just say these
right
disgraceful jokes, people.
So that's what I would say. Like if we're using Myers-Leonard as like the front of this experiment here.
Yeah.
Having spent enough time learning more about, if we're talking specifically gay stuff, you know, pride and sort of like the Stonewall Rebellion and just what people have gone through. And you can say the same thing about black people, like the N-word is heinous. And I'm sure I've used it in my life, you know, but
just save yourself and say while singing rap songs.
Well, definitely, which I don't do anymore. And now I replace the word with people when I say something.
Okay.
Like when I'm going through
go
the
with
word
neighbors, just, like Montel or, Jordan, yeah, for all right. My neighbors who got much flavor. This right. Is how we
I
do
it. Always replace it. Like I got to a place where like I grew up where there, it wasn't, you know, listen, I had adults in my life who used that word. And as a kid, it was something that like you definitely never used around black people. But to say that it was I never heard it or I never used it as a kid, to probably try to be funny, I definitely did. There's no question about it. And I feel bad about that now. I really do, because now I have more people in my life that, you know, to look somebody in the face, a person of color that is close to me and say like, yeah, I did. I did say it. I can't imagine not feeling horrible about it.
Right.
Just knowing how it makes people feel. I've seen people get upset by it. I've had deeper conversations with my friends of color. And
Fox, as they're called.
Well, do you remember Drew Doughty, the comedian?
I know that name.
He was a little bit ahead of me when I was doing stand-up. And Drew was like sort of in that Chappelle. He was like that kind of comedian. Mm-hmm. But before Chappelle went like off the deep end. Mm-hmm. And I always had so much respect for Drew, so funny and just such a smart guy. And I remember having a conversation with him one night at the time where like, as a comedian, you're still trying to get your feet on the ground. And there was this whole conversation about like what you can say and what you can't say. And there was like a fervor about that for a long time. And one night I'm sitting at a table at one of the clubs with Drew and we're just having this conversation, this conversation, mm-hmm. JL, I think. And he tells me this whole story about like getting chased through his neighborhood when he was in his early 20s, because he's a little older than I was. Like in his early 20s, he got chased through a neighborhood by some like Italian guy with a bat.
No, I did the math.
Right.
I knew exactly what the weapon was.
It was Vinny.
And the race of the person doing it. I grew up in New York City in the right, 80s. Every other week, there was like a black guy was trying to buy a cupcake. And all of a sudden, 19 Italians chased him down.
Right. So it was one of those situations. And I guess the cop came over and then Drew ended up getting arrested, I guess. Ugh. It was this whole like really bad, like bad sure. story. And I just remember being like, damn, like I've never heard a story like this told to me directly by somebody who I respected so much
right.
that I was just like, not again, not that it was like a word that
and
I was
looked
using
in your notebook for that night and said, cross off the N-word bit.
No, but I was, just, I didn't, I've never, I don't think I ever had an N-word bit. I don't think, but I, there N-word, was, that N-word, was a hot thing at the time though.
N-word scissor hands.
No, that's good though. But no,
I feel like that might've been somebody's Twitter handle at some point. So I don't think I'm making that up.
Maybe.
But that's funny Twitter.
It
handle.
Is kind of funny. Yeah. But no, so I mean, that's the thing. I think that perspective matters. And once you start to actually have more of these people in your life who there's a, you know, it can be all fun and games. Like, you know, I've been called Guinea and WAP and stuff before. And people don't know that I'm Jewish. So I never get
on the list.
But I think that that's important. Like, I really do think that understanding and that knowledge helps you stop speaking like that
sure.
in the future, because like when my grandpa might have said some of those words when I was a kid, I didn't have as many black people in my life, so I didn't think twice about it. And then you fast forward to actually having people like that in your life, hearing their stories about getting wrongfully arrested,
right.
You know, it kind of dropped the ball again. It kind of puts you in this different headspace to understand that even just using words like that flippantly,
yeah.
is at best in bad taste, and at worst, you know,
contributing to like a culture of hate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I was going to say an example of that also. I remember it was very interesting when Liam Neeson, and he didn't use any slurs, but he had talked about a friend being assaulted or raped or something.
And I remember this.
And he was talking about having these vile, racist yes. thoughts about the perpetrators or who had done it.
Yeah, I remember this.
And he was saying it though in a very reflective, open way of like, it was kind of the thing where what was the movie where it's like, I thought we were sharing. Are we not sharing anymore?
I can't remember.
If it's an Austin Powers thing. But I'm forgetting the scene in the movie, but where somebody thinks, it's Will Ferrell in some movie, maybe The Other Guys or something, or one of his movies, Step Brothers, whatever.
You've seen one, you've seen them all.
Yeah. The point is, are we not? Oh, Old School. It was in Old School in therapy.
Oh, he's yes. saying,
is this not a place of trust, or is this not the, like, because he's giving away too much. He's sharing too much even for therapy. But I was like, Liam Neeson is kind of taking to heart this idea. Wasn't that like post George Floyd? I felt like he was doing.
I don't know if it was post George Floyd. It was probably post Trayvon.
Certainly, yeah. No, that's for sure.
It's been during a racial
reckoning.
Yes,
and it was like, of course, he got roasted.
The climate was hot,
but it was like, I looked at it and said, "Wow, if everybody reflected that way,
sure.
we'd be a better place." But of course, who's going to do that if Liam Neeson is getting roasted on Twitter
right.
for doing it? But that wasn't about slurs, but that was about having racist feelings. Now it was in a highly charged emotional time, but you know, who you are when the chips are down is who you are.
Good. That's a good point.
You know, not if you revert to calling somebody an F word or an N word when they're really in a bad mood, then that's a little bit of who you are.
Right.
You know, it's good that you're not always that person, but that's in you
yeah.
and that's worth examining. But with, so we get to Chappelle, and I've had discussions post Chappelle. With people telling me I don't use the F word like that. I don't use it as like that.
Right.
And I go, oh, okay. Oh, well, great.
Yeah.
Like, all's forgiven. Because I don't get that defense that people still have. Now, two things, and then we'll get to what everybody's waiting for.
Yeah.
I rank an official ranking of slurs.
The official ranking.
But I had to say to a friend of mine one time where I was really pissed about the Chappelle thing, and he had no qualms about, he didn't use it because he was sort of a dignified, but he had no issue with Chappelle's point.
Yeah.
And I was like, and the way I put it to him is I go, okay, so I'm going to concede something. Let's say the N-word is a 10, mm-hmm. 10 out of 10, horrible, worst thing. Let's say the K-word for Jewish people is an 8.5 or an 8, and the F-word is a 7 because it has such a rich tradition of being used negatively, but not necessarily meaning the specific community. But let's just play that game. Well, four is the level of unacceptable.
Yeah.
So what does it matter at that point? If you're defending the use of K or F, we don't need to talk. Like, those should be, if we want to have an intellectual or a humorous discussion, like we're about to, of where they rank, fine. But if you're telling me that one is not that bad, they're all beyond the line of decency and openness, or whatever the word would be.
Yeah.
They've all crossed the line where you shouldn't use them. If you want to rank them, fine. But if you're saying that because you're part of the group that would be called the 10,
yeah,
you don't have to respect
right.
the 7 or the 8 because you've got fucking racial slur immunity.
But people do feel that way.
I know. And I'm telling those people, you're fucking idiots. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, the example I'll give you is, how many gay people have been murdered in this country where the last thing they were hearing was the F word? You know, yeah. Like, tell me how you have a better justification why you can throw that word around and disregard pain and trauma and other communities who haven't had it super easy either.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there might not be that historical 400 years ongoing, but it is a community that the trauma is well documented.
I mean, you could also argue that it's longer than 400 years and all over the world.
No, of course.
You know?
Yes. No, but I'm just, you know, even just speaking.
I know. Now you and I are going to argue semantics of racial slurs. Yes. that we despise.
But there's that. And then there's this article that made me think of this today on
Jaron Duren. Yeah.
It wasn't that he said it that made me shocked and startled, because he was in an exchange with a heckler. Mm-hmm. Maybe they pushed a button and he unloaded on the guy, whether he was saying it in a flippant way or he thought the guy was actually gay, but he used a homophobic slur.
Not in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. In Boston, I feel like that might just mean like,
yeah,
you know, I don't like the shirt you're wearing.
Yeah. Right.
But it was the comments underneath. That's what made me think, let's talk about this, because it wasn't one guy, because he issued an apology. Like we said, maybe it was an apology for, I really mean this, or I really don't want to get suspended a lot, but he gave a full-throated apology.
He could have easily felt bad.
Of course.
You know, bad moment.
Exactly.
You know?
Either way, he did the necessary thing for saying a bad word. I mean, Kobe, everybody's hero, Kobe Bryant, got fined, I think, for calling a ref,
yeah.
I think, the F word.
I mean, if you think Michael Jordan didn't say it, I mean.
No, of course.
You know.
but I'm saying, Kobe, yeah. Hey, by the way, sidebar, Kobe fans have become like the QAnon of basketball. Like, they see numerology everywhere now. Like, Kobe. Great player. Not as good as LeBron. Anyway, it was the comments underneath, because there were a lot of them. And it was a lot of, you know, it's like the gif of Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator, where their biceps come together and flex.
Dylan!
It's like black guy who wants to win the oppression contest, white guy who wants to say slurs.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And it was a mix. It was a black and white. It was Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. And Ebony and – no, that wasn't – that was Stevie – was that Stevie Wonder and
Paul McCartney.
Steve, right.
Michael Jackson.
Say,
and The Girl Is Mine.
The Girl Is Mine, right. Yeah. So they were all going, half of the people were saying society's too soft. They view this as like, it's just words.
Yeah.
It's just words. And the other half were saying like, I wouldn't have even apologized.
Yeah.
And I was like, as I often do, I brought it back to Trump. Because that's what I think Trump has done. First of all, he made these people come out of the shadows and out of the holes that they live in. And he made it safe. And not only did he make it safe to be a hateful bigot, he branded it.
That's true.
You're not being a bigot. You're being a free speech guy.
Yeah.
You're being non-woke. You're being non-PC. So when Morgan Whalen yells the N-word, is he racist or is he a free speech warrior, Mike?
Well, yeah, and but I don't think he did. He is like he wasn't like proud of that. I don't think.
But don't get me wrong. I feel like he paid a price for about a week, and it was like a month after he had like fucked with the COVID protocols on SNL. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
That's enough for me to kind of know who you are, dude.
Made up your mind. Yeah.
It's very unlikely that these are just two coincidences, and you're actually a very enlightened fellow.
Yeah. Right.
But. To me, it was, and no, I don't want to mean it like it's just free speech word. Plenty of these people don't care. They don't think it's anything.
Right.
They're like, I've been calling people that word for years. And by the way, I don't like gay people.
Right.
Like we can't ignore the sizable segment who are like gross.
Yeah.
Or I don't like that. All right. And to be honest, these are people who've never even really heard the tawdry things that gay people do, because I tell you, they'd have more ammo. If they knew what went down in some of these parties, they're lucky.
One night at the duplex.
They're lucky they don't know what's happening. They just think it's two guys kissing and they're like nuclear war ready.
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is, we can't even discount those people, the amount of genuine hate and the bridge to making that legitimate, to making that hate political strength are the people who go, you're being woke. I didn't mean it like that. Who cares? What's the big deal? And those are the people who bridge it to Trump, and Trump bridges it to them, so that they're only one degree of separation from the true hate, but they're okay with it. Or I don't mean it like that. So why should I respect the feelings of somebody else? You know, and they form this coalition. But it was shocking to me, and I shouldn't have been shocked, but how the multitude of reasons these people are being so flippant about it, how it doesn't mean anything. And it's like, yes, if he had said the N-word, although I think he is a POC.
Morgan Whalen?
No, the baseball player.
Oh, Jarrett. Yeah, I think he's Hispanic.
Okay. Well, then he might still say it. Let's be honest. He might still say the N-word. My point is, if you said it, would the reaction be like, it's just words? Yeah. From a few of those people, they'd be still on the it's just words or what's the big deal?
Yeah.
But there'd be a lot more people going, no, that's bad.
Yeah.
They've accumulated the amount of oppression and trauma that allows their slur to be respected by everybody. You've only done a few things and I don't like your lifestyle, so I don't have to respect it. So that's my take on that. I don't think anybody should say gay people want to say it, say it. I remember seeing my friend Adam Sank's one-man show, and when he said it, I laughed loudly. Mm-hmm. Probably a little bit of me was like, good to hear it again. No, but it was just, it was funny because he was wielding it aggressively. Unlike Joe Rogan,
right,
who wielded it poorly and certainly unfunnily in his special. But that's what his people want also. They're exactly the people who want to hear that shit. And hey, if Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle vouch for you using the F word, those are my social and comedy heroes.
Right.
Who's going to tell me otherwise? They say it's okay.
Right.
Well, it's not. So when we come back, you guys thought you were getting it in the second segment. When you come back, Brother Mike, we're going to discuss.
Is this taking place the comedy segment?
This is going to be in the comedy segment.
Oh, wow.
Guys, we rank, and by we, I mean me. We rank the racial slurs after this final break. 2-2.
And now, from the Slickback Studios newsroom in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, here is Scott Pelley with a Rain on Your Parade special report.
This is Scott Pelley on assignment from 60 Minutes with this week's Punchdown of the Week. JL had posted on Twitter, also known as X, Mike.
Yes.
Since Elon Musk bought it. He was watching a Donald Trump speech, and he wrote, "Please pay attention to me," end quote. Donald Trump's Gloria Swanson press conference. To which somebody replied, "Reminds me of Sunset Boulevard." Mike, I'm going to stick with you for a minute to explain this.
Okay, Scott.
Gloria Swanson, as film buffs will know, mm-hmm. was the main character of the movie Sunset Boulevard.
Yes.
So this person commenting, Trump reminds me of Sunset Boulevard. Well, JL just said that. Moron. Thank you. Scott Pelley out.
We love to hear it. Scott, thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate it. It's been a while since we've seen Scott, JL. You missed him again.
Well, he knew that. Well, yeah, he knew this was a, I think he knew this was an episode worthy of his gravitas. Like yeah. We had some jokes, but we, you know, it was a more serious topic mm-hmm. this week. So doing some social consciousness work. But this is what everybody's stuck around for. Okay. This is going to be the official slur ranking. Okay. If you disagree with me, that's fine. You're okay. Wrong.
Oh, okay.
At number nine, I couldn't come up with 10 in terms of like, yes, you can come up with, I wanted no more than one slur per race. So, you know what I mean? You could have like 4 for black people. You could have 3 for Italians. You have the, you know, a sort. Too confusing. I don't want to do a whole.
It's just the best for each race. Yes. Okay.
So number 9 at the bottom of the list, cracker.
Yeah.
Just
but hardly offensive.
Who even uses it?
Yeah.
So cracker, you're in the bubble. You're in the play-in tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, you might not like this. Any Italian slur.
Oh, okay. So you just said all Italian.
Yes, but where would you, and I ask you for your expertise, we obviously, and by we, I mean you, use Guinea on this show.
Guinea's the big one.
For Vinny.
Yeah.
But it's also the most common, you know, Guinea tea is sometimes a name for a wife beater.
Yeah, Guinea straps.
So it's been in like a, it adopted some sort of, a little bit of a colloquial usage.
Well, no, that's like offensive. Guinea strap is like calling a wife beater. Wife beater and Guinea strap are the same thing in the sense that they're like what
I'm only saying it for this. I've never used that, but I've heard.
Yeah. Like we say it growing up. We absolutely. Right. I mean, I still call them guinea straps. That's like what they were called in my house.
Oh, okay.
But it means like because like Italians hit their wives and like that's what it's meant to. That's why they call it guinea straps instead of wife beaters. It's like the same connotation.
Yeah, you're going to kill me like your father. Come on.
Come on, you guinea brat.
Oh, Carlo, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
But I feel like the ones that aren't used as much.
Like what? Like WAP?
And Dago?
Dago is like meaningless at this point.
Well, it's meaningless, but to me, that's
Guido
why they...
Guido is worse than Dago, I think. Guido, at least people... And Guido's not even really a slur, but it's like...
Yeah. But I'm saying they're like antiquated, but yeah. I still think I've never heard, and I'm sorry for saying this if this is offending people, it's just for the purposes of this one discussion.
Yeah.
Dago and WAP feel like things that I only hear in movies when it's like it's being used to insult Italians.
Yeah.
Like nobody, you could say Guinea is Italian's N-word. They've just adopted it. They don't care about using it themselves.
Yeah.
But actually the N-word is Italian's N-word. Let's be honest.
Well,
but those ones feel like those feel antiquated, but they also feel like they were only used as slurs.
Yeah,
whereas Guinea has had this multifaceted
Guinea's got a facelift
usage. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But number 8. Now, number 7, we enter the realm where I go, these are also words that are used for other things, uh-huh. which is why they can't be top tier slurs. If they have, what is it, homonyms?
Yeah.
You can't. Homonyms is the same word, different usage? No, that's different spelling. Anyway, I'm using it wrong. English, elementary school English is a long time ago. I'm going to say this one for Latino people, number 7, because it's also part of a famous cleaning product.
Uh-huh.
And if you grew up.
Span.
Yeah. If you grew up in the 80s, you would probably say that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, which I always found, and I always wondered, I'm like, it feels racist because, you know, in my building, the cleaning women are Latin. So I'm like, is that, was spick and span? It's not racist if you say it together. Spick and span just sounds like you're identifying somebody. Spicky, span.
Yeah.
Spanish. Yeah. It sounds horrible.
Yeah.
That cleaning product sounds horrible, and we all had it.
Yeah.
And just, it's one of those things where I go, so we got rid of Aunt Jemima for good or bad. Fox News tells me it's the worst thing that ever happened. But okay, Pearl Milling Buck Company, whatever it's called, hate it.
I think it was a good move.
A good move, but I never took it as, but of course, doesn't matter how I took it or somebody, but they went on to something, a different one, whatever they're called now. But Spick and Span, it's like, to me, I'm like, are we sure that doesn't have a racist origin?
I don't know.
It's like, maybe. I know it's a term for meaning clean, but it's hard to separate the fact that, like, in the cleaning custodial profession, there are a lot of, you know, immigrants and Latinos in that profession.
I would wager that it's not.
Probably not.
Yeah, I would wager it's like some white guy 50s, like, well, it's Spick and Span.
No, of course. You know? But where did that, my question would be, where did that come from?
Well, in the good old days of this country, JL.
Yeah.
You know, white people were janitors too at one point.
That's true.
You know, and after the war.
But like they janitored like I'm cleaning the room. Whereas, just janitor the right way, okay? That's all I'm saying. There's a right way to janitor. Stop salsing while you're cleaning my room, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're probably right, but it's just, it's both humorously and also, where did that phrase come from?
It doesn't sound great.
No.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Like, if you said that to if you said that to Ronnie today.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ronnie's got a pretty, she's not that, she doesn't have baby ears, which is
all
nice.
All right, Ron Kuby, always on defense counsel for Ronnie. We can't even joke.
This is a no joke.
An 18-year-old. An 18-year-old.
Yeah, maybe.
You just go, could you just grab the Spick and Span for me? I'm going to clean the room. Yeah, excuse me? Yeah, Rosa, I think JL wants you in here. What are you doing? Why are you asking her? You just said, no, it's a cleaning product. What the fuck? That would be a funny joke for like a sketch show or a TV show. But we could never do it today, everybody. We could never do it today. Now, number six. And I don't like saying, I really genuinely don't like saying any of these. Retard.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a racial slur. It's a slur. I feel like the R word is having a moment also, like a not a moment of usage, a moment of pushback. Like in the last decade, it's been very, you know, something about Mary is like the last time I think that word was used in a undeniably fine. Kevin Dillon.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Hey, it is a gut busting laugh.
Well, yeah, because they're using it
to make fun of him being ignorant.
Yeah,
using it. That the Farrelly brother is very sensitive and inclusive when it comes
famously.
Except the brother of Mary, not at all special needs. In a lot of movies.
Yeah.
In Deadwood, he went from
he's in Deadwood, is he?
He's Al Swearengen's like right hand man.
Oh no shit. Yeah, I mean that is a cartoonish portrayal of a disabled person. But I mean, you know, so is Joe Pera's act. What do you what are you gonna do?
So I put that there because I feel like, though you could argue it's not the same as a racial slur, I think it is something that people are pushing back on. And the more you push back on it, the higher the ranking, is my point.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, the
I'm not willing to challenge the F word advocates yet on not using the R word.
Yeah,
that's a battle. We can't win that battle.
I just know that if anybody called, I mean, this doesn't necessarily set it apart from any of these other slurs, because I would be mad if somebody called like Ronnie, you know, a slur or something like that. But like my sister obviously has Down syndrome. I got lucky enough that my friends never used that kind of language around me. It doesn't really bother me when people say it, as long as it's not about a person that's disabled. Like if someone were to call you that or me that or whatever, I don't know that it would really move the needle for me. But if I heard somebody say it about a disabled person, I would be very upset. And I guess you can say that about all the slurs. But
yeah. You know. I've used it, and I mean my nephew.
We've all used it.
Nephew is developmentally disabled, intellectually disabled. So it's made me obviously a little more sensitive to it. Now that's the thing. Sometimes it makes me feel guilty when I'm writing a joke, and I'll avoid it. And sometimes I hate that because I don't. Not to sound like too much of a purist, but I do want to be like, I want to be able to separate my life and my art,
of course,
in times. Like when Louis C.K. in Role Models used the F word.
Right. It did make me laugh.
It made me laugh.
For sure.
Because it was in the context and it was.
Also, I was not expecting it.
Yeah. You furry. It made me laugh. And that's not something Louis C.K. does often, by the way. Now, number five. Okay. And I apologize. Actually, number five is interesting. You're not going to agree with this because it's a little too old school and I may have rated it too high. But what do you call it when something's like like a ramp? What's another word for like a ramp? Like you're going down a ski
slope.
Yes.
Yeah.
You said it. And that's
for Asians.
I think that's like specifically that. I can't remember who that, it might be Asians in general. Mm-hmm. And the last public usage I heard of it was Sensei Kreese in the first Karate Kid, which people probably missed. He just says to Mr. Miyagi in his face, he's like basically, what do you want? Like, that's pretty fucking aggressive.
Yeah. Well, that, I don't think that's even the worst.
It's not
Asian slur.
Well, there's one above it.
Oh, okay. There should be, I think, two. One with a G and one with a C.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
I wouldn't have that.
We're
one
replacing. Okay, the Veterans Committee has retired Slope and is saying
certainly not higher than the R word.
And it's saying, now here's the question for five and four. They're both Asian. Mm-hmm. G or C? C gets more usage and is more recent in terms of, I would say C is five, even though it gets a lot more usage and the infamous Jeremy Lin ESPN headline.
It's so insane.
insane. Technically made sense.
I don't know how that got through.
It technically made sense.
Yeah, of course,
like,
it did.
Like if he had not been Asian.
Yeah, if it had been JL Sanity, then it would have been, yeah, a chink in the armor would have been fine.
Right.
But
the fact that that actually got through, that almost felt like somebody was making a private joke of, yeah, like, what if we did this? And was like, of course not. Yeah. And then actually somebody print publish instead, yeah, of delete.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really dumb.
I would say that's five, because the one you just reminded me of, you know, once again, I only moved to New Jersey. I wasn't born there.
Yeah.
The G word. The G word is hard.
Well, and the other thing that I would argue to make it higher than the C word is that I think that any words that, as you said about the F word, if it is the last word that somebody might hear before they're shot in the face.
Yeah. Or if Mark Wahlberg as a teenager is beating you up.
Yes. You're right.
That's always a good test. If Mark Wahlberg, the test for a slur is, how would it sound when Mark Wahlberg says it while beating you up?
I'm an angel dust guy. Angel dust guy.
No, it's okay. I'm now praying with Mel Gibson. Like the fact that speaks so highly that, like,
yeah,
he's formed this like mentorship, yeah, relationship with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, wild. I've put the bad stuff behind me, guys. It's okay. My mentor is now Mel Gibson.
Yeah. So that would be my argument for
good argument. I agree,
because it's from Vietnam. I mean, yeah, that's like you hear it in the Vietnam movies when somebody machine guns a whole village.
Yeah, and it's not even used like the C word could be almost comically. In a movie,
yeah,
Asians like using it as
still
a joke,
not great. But
no, I'm saying, but if Asians were using it amongst themselves,
I don't know that ever heard that.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Didn't the guy in my Not Another Teen Movie use it?
I can't remember. Remember every joke in that movie.
But the G is like hard,
yeah,
and never used in anything but like the worst, yes, of circumstances.
Lighting a hut on fire.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg definitely, we don't know, reckless speculation, but probably used it in, yes, his teens. Now we're into the big three.
Of course.
Bosh, Wade, LeBron.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. These go without saying.
Number three, the F word.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, when you're up this high, like I said, all these words you've crossed into a bad level.
Yeah.
Except for the Italian ones and cracker. Mm-hmm. They're below the bad level. They're in the sort of gray area of like, I think we can kind of still say it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. That's just the truth.
That's okay.
F word, number three, focus of this podcast. The new kid on the block, so to speak, in the slur community. Still a lot of pushback from a lot of ignorant people of like, no. Either I don't mean it like that or no, you can't tell me not to say it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Number two, the K word.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Once again, like the G word, except,
yeah,
has two of them.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know what the origin of it is, but it's hard.
The origin of it, I believe, is Keikel, which is
our governor in New York,
Hochul. I remember I did know the origin of it for a long time.
I'm sure there's guys on the internet who could easily explain it to me soon.
Well, yeah, it's weird because this is the thing where
just
it's
Google
like
chat rooms, origin of Jewish stuff.
Right. And that's the thing, like the Jewish faith is its own weird not gray area, but it's its own area with slurs because that's a bad one. But also, I mean, you can look at calling someone a Jew as a slur. Yeah. That's the irony of that, to just be like,
yeah,
somebody like imagine me calling you a Catholic being a slur.
Yeah,
it's just odd, you know.
Well, according and then you to go MAGA, through like that, like people do that apparently.
What, call you Catholic?
No,
as
they
like
think
a,
they think that's like they're under attack.
The war on Christmas.
Yeah,
but I mean that's the thing with Jew stuff. It's like, you know, going back to the Holocaust, like Judah, Hebe. Like there's a lot of I think the K one's the really heavy one, like so heavy that like I can't even really think of how many times I've heard it.
Right.
You know,
people say Jew you for some, you know, that's probably more usage, but the K word is number two.
Yeah.
It's, and I will say this, I have two funny jokes, but they're also true. I remember as a kid seeing Blue Chips and JT Walsh, great actor. He was in a lot of movies. When Nicholson won Best Actor for About Schmidt, JT Walsh had just passed away, and he actually gave him a shout out. Mm. He was Matthew Markinson in A Few Good Men, the guy who offs himself.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was the booster in Blue Chips, and his name was Happy Kuykendall. And I was like, can you say that?
Yeah.
Like as a kid growing up in Riverdale, I was like, that's his name?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's harsh.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's a real name. I mean, it's a name. But the other thing is the dog that I walked when I was growing up in my building, Duchess, great dog.
Mm-hmm.
Owner, his name was Jaime, first name Jaime. I don't need to give his full name. But it was like that had become in the 80s in New York, like Jesse Jackson had referred to New York City as Jaime Town.
Yep.
And I was like, I made it into a joke, got no laughs on stage. I was so pissed.
Yeah.
But I said, so the guy who I walked his dog, he was like, oh, you can call me Jaime. And I go, no, Mr. So-and-so. It will remain Mr. So-and-so.
Yeah. That was Abner Luima, right?
Abner Luima?
Wasn't it? The Jaime Town thing?
No. Jesse Jack, that was in the 80s. He said it.
Oh, is that what messed up his presidential campaign?
I think so.
Oh, I thought that was during the Crown Heights stuff.
Well, no, that Crown Heights was in the 80s. Abner Luima was a different, that was like late 90s. There were a lot of things going on in the 80s in New York.
Let's get to the end here.
And that gets, Mike always has a way of ending the show on a real sour note.
It's so long.
Number one.
The obvious, I mean, no argument from me.
The N-word.
Yeah. It like cuts through. I hate hearing it, man. I really do. It makes me so uncomfortable. I don't like hearing it in any circumstance. I can't believe I ever said it in my life.
I'll tell you what
was
funny, though.
It's just awful, you know?
It's made me laugh once. In the movie 42 about Jackie Robinson, Alan Tudyk.
What a horrible movie.
Terrible movie.
Yeah.
Alan Tudyk.
Yes.
Of Resident Alien and
Dodgeball.
A Knight's Tale and Dodgeball, to name a few.
Steve the Pirate.
He's great. He says it so many times. I was like, this doesn't even feel racist anymore. It just feels like a parody of racism.
Well, it's just such a terrible movie and a terrible script. And they just, they're like, we're just going to have him say it 150 times. And I wonder as an actor, like just going in being like, how do you like pull Chadwick Boseman aside and like, dude, I'm so sorry. That's just in the script. I have to keep constantly calling you the N word and I hate it. Like, I would feel so uncomfortable, man.
Sure.
Like, you know,
that's why I respect Leo DiCaprio for his Django performance, which should have been nominated for supporting actor and he should have won. And Christoph Waltz should have been in the best actor category because Leo did not shy. Like Leo was like, I'm here to do the part, not to worry about will people see me differently?
Yeah.
And he fucking ate it up.
Yeah.
Which means he's probably racist. DiCaprio, I think it's come full circle here.
You know?
But that's the ranking. But the point of this is no matter where you rank on the list, everybody, they're all bad. So don't use them.
Yeah.
That's the lesson here today.
Let's move past
So I have a bit on one of my albums about biracial slurs because I think that's the new frontier we have to get to. You know what? And we'll end on this. You know what the racial slur for me was? I said for a half black guy, half black, half white person.
Don't make me guess. Just tell
no,
me.
No. Macaroon. Because I feel like it just sounds like, look at this fucking macaroon.
Yeah.
It just sound, and people responded to that when I said it on stage. So yeah, this has been, you know, Mike wants me to do, you know, some heavy topics for the algorithm because our audience likes engaging in some of this, some of these kinds of discussions. But I think Mike is like, not this heavy and not this long.
You know, we'll see. We'll see how it's received.
Slurs. The name of the episode, slurs. It sounds like Tyler Perry as Madea saying slow. You got to go slur. And on that weird note that many of you didn't get, go to my website, check out the shows, check out Half Blackface. Please leave a review on Amazon if you haven't. But I need people to come to those shows. Anywhere friend or you is near, please. JLComedy.com, calendar page. Mike, do you want me to just do the announcer? Or you'll take over.
Well, as you know, we love when you guys watch on YouTube and leave comments.
Two new 5-star reviews on iTunes, by the way.
Love to hear that. So please keep leaving reviews on the audio side. We are an audio product. You can take us with you on your commute or on your jog or wherever you go. Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're in both places, really, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're watching on YouTube, please continue to leave comments. I'm sure there'll be some lively debate about this episode, don't you think?
I think so.
And obviously tell a friend, and we appreciate everything you guys do for us. I know we kid around here about the JL's audience, but I like to think that my audience is the audience that leaves the comments and says all the nice things.
Sure.
Okay.
If that's what you think.
All right.
Now, oddly enough, one slur that was left off the list. See you next Thursday.
It's true.